Hello, everybody, and welcome to Noise Cancelling, the podcast that has episodes numbering from 1 to 61. And this is the 61st episode of said Noise Cancelling podcast, where we talk all about tech. And I am joined by three wonderful people to talk about that tech thing. Please, someone help.
Hey, I'm Sherielle Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm Henry Sinedger. I'm home cinema editor of Tech Radar.
I'm Brian Wolf from iMore, but right now I'm at Tech Radar.
And I am Gareth Beavis, global editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. And yeah, Brian, you're part of the family. Nice to have you on here as well as the podcast.
Looking forward to it. Love it. Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Love it. As long as there is enthusiasm oozing out, that's all that matters.
I look forward to loving it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is there a better way of describing the human condition than that?
I'll start loving it one day.
Yeah, exactly. Hope is just, that's the thing that kills you. Anyway, welcome to the set of Noise Cancelling. People who have listened to this before know what it's about. It's inane frippery about things that happened this week with a format that, quite honestly, alters regularly. We like to talk about all the different things going on, but this week is a big question that, I'll be honest, I'm going to have to work hard to make sure everyone stays engaged with, because it's about football or soccer to our US listeners, and to most people on this podcast that aren't me, don't give a shit, I would be right in saying.
Yeah, you'd be correct.
Yeah. So very quickly, very quick pricey, the idea was that over in Europe, where football is very important and big and lots and lots of money, 15 clubs decided, or 12 clubs decided amongst themselves, that they are that good that they should have a competition that they can earn loads of money from. They can't be got rid of because they are founding members, and they will let five other people come play if they decide they're good enough for it. Obviously, this means a competition with no danger. There's no jeopardy involved at all. So people were quite upset. And 72 hours after the announcement, it's basically unraveled. And people have withdrawn from it. It's now dead in the water. It's not going to happen anymore. Which means by the time that we've got to the Friday, when you're listening to this, it'll probably be a distant afterthought for those. But we're going with the big question anyway. If there was going to be a tech Super League, which brand would you support? Or which brands do you think would be in it, basically? And in this case, we're saying, you know, the tech Super League are those big brands that would want to be in it so they can never be criticized and never get a bad review. Who would be in there? Would you support anybody? Would you think anyone deserves to be in there? Sheree, start us off.
To get no criticism at all? No, that's impossible. Like, my whole job is to critique. But companies that I do support as a consumer, PlayStation, Xbox, Samsung, a little bit of Dell action.
I suppose we should probably reframe this question in light of what's happened. So let's say, you know, if someone said, oh, there's been a tech Super League created with 15 brands that have decided they can't get criticized, who would be your number one pick to be on there?
Oh, who decided that they can't get criticized? Yeah. Ooh.
Who would be their number one? And then who would you like to take one of those last five spots to get into this powerhouse? And you think, you know what, they're going to really help out and be the consumer champion.
See, you're putting me in a tough, tough spot. Because for who knows who listens to this podcast, but companies that feel that they are without reproach, let's go with Google.
Interesting, yeah.
For sure.
I think, I suppose it becomes this difficult thing of, like, the reproach, when you become so vast and so sprawling and do so many things, you know, all the big tech, basically, that, you know, Facebook probably don't give a shit about the portal reviews, do they? You know, it's a nice idea, it uses their video calling technology, but everyone's going to criticize Facebook Portal? Yeah, you know, it's one of a billion things that they're doing right now. So I suppose when you say beyond reproach, it's not the same thing. You know, what are you reproaching them for? You know, every brand is going to get criticized for devious practices of whatever, and no matter what happens. But it's that idea that, you know, you could do a review, you could chuck out products and never get bad reviews. That'd be something that a lot of people would like. I'll be honest, this question is starting to really melt under the
scrutiny
question's
of the getting
sunshine.
Bigger the more we talk about it.
I know, yeah. It's like, what is tech? What is it between us? And who would want to be tech? You know, who's the robot at the heart of all of this? Okay, let's say there is a 15 brand Super League of big tech, of nondescript names that we don't want to say in case, you know, they said, who's listening? Who knows? But who would be the brands that you think you'd love to give a pass to, you know, like to supercharge their way up to being alongside the biggest names in the tech industry? Henry, what about that?
I think maybe OnePlus.
Interesting.
I know they're not maybe not quite the underdog that they were a few years ago, but I'm still holding on to my OnePlus 5T that I got a few years ago when they were a bit more of an underdog.
Yeah.
I always really bought into the never settle mentality. Yeah. They sacrificed on the things I didn't care about in phone specs that much, like cameras and water resistance. I always felt very pleased with myself having a OnePlus phone when all my friends had iPhones. I'm like, I spent 300 quid less than you on this. So in terms of like sport equivalent fandom, being someone who doesn't do sport fandom, OnePlus is probably one of the closest things I get to that. So I would want OnePlus in there.
You have single-handedly saved this question. Thank you, Henry. Brian M. Wolf.
That's what I do.
Yes. What about you?
Well, it would be easy to say Apple, but I'm not going to say Apple. What about Adobe? And I only say that because they have a built-in monthly long line of customers thanks to their monthly fees. And their products are on mobile, they're on desktop, they support Windows and Mac. So I think they have a lot of cheerleaders, as it were, and fans. So I would say Adobe Systems.
Well, they're the ones that you'd like to see join the big leagues, if they're not, are they there already in your mind?
Well, see, I consider the big leagues the Apples, the Googles, and maybe the Facebooks of the world.
Yeah, the big four, right?
Yeah, true. But then equally, I saw, you know, Adobe recently, people are getting grumpy about the fact that, you know, you can't pull yourself easily out of contracts of, I want to buy this product for X amount of days. And you're like, actually, you know what? I don't need all those days. Can I have the money back? No, that's not possible. So cool. Okay. I like it. Thanks, Brian. Cherie, who's your underdog? Who are you fighting for?
HTC. I want them to get back in the game.
Ah, you stole my one.
Like, I now that LG has tapped out of the phone business, I think it is high time that HTC rises from the ashes and brings us back some sexy metal phones.
Yep, that's true.
Maybe another VR headset that we can afford.
Yeah, the likelihood of that one. We shall see.
Yeah, I still think there's a lot in Vive, but let's skip past that one. We've taken HTC. That was going to be my answer. So I'm going to have to back up to Sony. But it would be a case of like, if I'm this grandmaster that's like, look, you're going to get a pass and you're going to be mentioned in the same breath as Amazon and Google and what have you. And I'm talking about Sony Mobile mostly here. You know, Sony's a brand in general is obviously a bit larger with PlayStation and all the cinema stuff and TVs and et cetera. But in terms of Sony Mobile specifically, I'd be like, look, you're going to get this pass, but I need to talk to you first about what you're going to do with it. Because you can't be messing around with all these different technologies and making really long, thin 21x9 phones and cameras that can do amazing things, but no one can use them. You're gonna get your stuff together and you're going to make this properly good, because Sony has still got a really strong heritage brand. It's still got all this great, great technology that it can use. You know, like, just make a phone that's like a TV, but it's also a DSLR camera that's also, you know, the most amazing gaming console that's also really, really good to listen to music, because you've got all those things in your stable. Like, just work it out, and then if you do that, you'll be allowed in. That's what I'll say. So that's the plan. I'll be honest, I'm quite glad to just get out of this question. We've had some really good ones to start with in the past, but Henry, you're going to get the points just for saving us, because
I love points.
Yeah, well then, you know, have 5 T's worth of them. Right, let's go to what's going on. Cherie, do we have a jingle yet?
Nope, still got to think about it.
I feel like we should almost get like work-wise on it. Like, should we plan some time in to do that, or, you know, who knows? But we do need jingle. I miss unpopular opinion so much, but it doesn't. You know, we haven't touched it for so many weeks.
I will work like I think I have something for you next week.
Just stay in a shower until you've worked it out, and just keep workshopping it in there. You know, just run the water out of the whole building. I don't know how it works in America, but whatever, that thing on top that sits with the tower, something like that. Yep, cool. What's going on this week? I mean, come on, it's the Apple event. It happened just last night at the time of recording. It'll be 3 days gone by the time you listen to this, lovely listener. God, there's a lot to talk about, so let's just jump straight in. Brian, you work on iMore, do a lot of wonderfully in-depth Apple thoughts. What was your highlight from the whole event?
You know, I got to say, those colorful iMacs, they were the best. And the keyboards with the Touch ID. Yeah, the geek in me really, really like those. Although I have no reason to buy an iMac. But definitely that was the highlight. it was exactly what the rumors said it would be, but I didn't really think they'd come out with 7 different colors. That should be a nightmare in terms of production.
I was doing the live blog yesterday. I was trying to like speed count how many colors there were. Got it wrong, just so everyone knows. I can't count 7 rather than 6. I mean, do you feel like the new iMac, obviously powered by the M1 chip, it's got fancy new stereo speakers that, even though it's super thin, can apparently emit Dolby Atmos sound. You know, do you feel like it's actually much of an upgrade? Do you think it's interesting enough, or is it just colorful?
Well, I mean, I think right off the bat, if you want something bigger than 24 inches, obviously they didn't release that model. I guess that's coming maybe later, a 30-inch model. So I think if you're in education, you're off to college in the fall, this is probably a nice ticket item if you want a actual desktop computer. I thought it was a giant leap. I like the M1. I respect that they haven't increased it to, come out with a M1X perhaps. So it will be interesting to see how it works out. But yeah, I think overall that was the highlight of the event.
Interesting. I feel like I often wonder more and more what place desktops have in the world. Whether people still really want that when they can have such a good performance off a laptop. Like I said, people going to college, yeah, but then they're like, well, can't take this with me. Is it for creatives? Well, is it powerful enough? There's loads of questions sort of lying around it that everyone was like, but it comes in 7 colors. And it feels like it's taken that long for Apple to reboot the iMac of like Zoolander fame back in the 90s. It's nice to see a little bit of retro.
I think after this pandemic that we're still going through, I think we need a lot of colors in this world.
Yes. That's true. They should just sell some paint. Like, you can just paint any old shit that you've got from Apple. It'll be, here's purple. It costs you $400, but, enjoy yourself. Cherie, what about you? Is it the iPad? Because I know you love tablets. Was that your favorite?
I mean, I guess in the grand scheme of things, I have to say the iPad Pro. I do not believe in tablets, but Apple continues to keep this what should be a dying technology alive, and they've improved upon it. And then that means for at least 3 months out, I'm going to hear, can the iPad Pro replace a laptop? The answer is still going to be a resounding no.
No.
But besides the point, Apple did outfit the new iPad Pro with the new micro LED displays that we've all been clamoring to get our hands on. 5G is coming, and you're getting the M1 chip, which is why everyone is like, ooh, no, it's not. It's never going to happen. Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. And same for those articles. Is this a MacBook killer? No, it is not.
No, I feel like, and you're right, the M1 chip was a big surprise, and Apple seems to be knocking down the walls over and over again between the two devices. That, like I said, they've got the same chipset. It's basic, and they're very kind of similar design in a way. The architecture's, the design language is very similar. It's just basically different operating systems, and you do wonder where it's going to be, but it feels like there's just some sort of lead line wall in the middle between the two that just can never be passed through. So it's interesting, and I think the mini LED display with 10,000 LEDs rather than 72, I think, will look really nice. I'm surprised that Apple just didn't go for an OLED, whether it costs too much money. I don't know. But the addition of M1 doesn't seem to increase the battery life massively like it did on the MacBooks, which is surprising. It's still 10 hours. It's still all-day battery life. And if you compare it, so the 11-inch doesn't have this fancy new mini LED backlit display. Still 10 hours because it's smaller. So they got a bigger battery. And instead of making that any longer lasting, it just powered up a greater display. So Apple seems set that 10 hours is all people will ever need on an iPad, and that's the end of it. So maybe that's the way it thinks about things. I don't know. But they're coming in at $799, $1,099. It's not, it's a lot of money for anything. But and you then have to buy the new Magic Keyboard, which, by the way, because the new iPad Pro 12.9 is 0.5 millimeters thicker, you have to buy a whole new $350 keyboard if you had one previously.
Such is the architecture of Apple. Such is the ecosystem. Continue to consume. We will not give you a charger for your iPhone, but we have no compulsion about charging you $350 like the Loch Ness Monster for a keyboard.
I'm really interested to see if it does fit, because I don't think 0.5 millimeters is going to make that much of a difference. The connectors are still there. It will still function. It just won't close flush exactly. I bet it'll be close enough. I don't think people would care, but Apple may have designed itself into a corner with this one. Who knows? Henry, what about you? Was there anything else that you saw that you were super excited about? Your home cinema editor, there's a TV.
Yeah, on the TV side, that being my beat, we did have a big announcement. We had a new Apple TV 4K hardware. We've been waiting 4 years for it. I think I would have been less disappointed with the model they brought out if I hadn't waited as long. I felt like after 4 years, I was really expecting something a bit different.
Yeah.
It didn't help that we had some rumors going around that Apple was making some magical streaming device with a screen and built-in speakers, which didn't happen at all. But other than a lick of paint, a better remote, which is a big change, and a chip upgrade with the A12, which has been around since about 2018, I don't feel like anything really groundbreaking happened with Apple TV, and I don't really see why it took them this long.
No, it was essentially the A12 allowed for, this is where it gets really boring, I suppose, for people who don't give a shit, that it allows you higher frame rate HDR mm-hmm. footage. So, and even that, movies aren't encoded in higher frame rate. It's basically sports, yeah, the stuff you shot on your
very,
iPhone.
It's very little content. I think the main perk of the processor may well be for people with, let's say, Apple Arcade subscriptions, people who are planning on using it for stuff other than TV, but then we're looking for a minority of a minority, because Apple TV has never been sort of a bestseller streaming device in the way that, say, the Fire TV Stick has.
Yeah,
I don't believe,
because it's so expensive, essentially, compared to, like, you know, $30 for a Roku. Mm-hmm. But I think you're absolutely right. It's a surprisingly iterative upgrade. And you said the Siri remote, if you should see it, it's much thicker. It's got the Siri button on the side. It's gone back to the scroll wheel, the click wheel functionality like iPods of old. You know, Apple's had that on the remotes in the past. It's like it can't work out what's right at this point. But then you can buy that remote for your old TV if you want to. So, you know, unless you really, really want that high frame rate, then it's game over. So, and Brian, let's talk. Well, there's a couple of final things, but I think the big one left is AirTags. Do you care?
Well, before this, I thought, okay, what do I think of AirTag? It's AirTag, not AirTags.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. kind of a money grab. I mean,
do you think
you can spend $450 on a luggage
tag? Yeah.
For a luggage tag,
Gaffer tape does the same thing.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the actual reason to have an AirTag is going to be great, although we do have tiles right now. But I think a lot of it is a money grab, given that the cases are as much as the actual AirTag. But I'll probably buy, you know, four of them at least, so they got $100 out of me.
I mean, Henry, do you think that the AirTag, thank you, Brian, do you think this is actually going to kill Tile? You know, the word kill is used a lot with these different things, but and Tile's come out fairly robustly to say, like, look, we think this is ridiculous from Apple. It's using its status to create a monopoly. It's going in front of Congress today to do that. But then you'd say, well, yeah, but that's true. But Tile is on Android as well. It's on other platforms. You can use it with a PC. You know, that it's not locked into this ecosystem like Apple's AirTag is. Like, do you think it's over for Tile? Would you buy an AirTag?
I definitely know people who would buy an AirTag. The thing about it is Tile exists and is perfectly fine as far as I know. But I think there are a lot of people who don't currently have something like Tile, and by virtue of Apple doing it, they're like, oh, I should probably get this.
Yeah.
And I do think it's going to amplify the use case for Tile-esque technology. So in terms of whether it's kill Tile, it might also draw more attention to the technology and how useful this sort of thing is for people who don't have an iPhone, which is a lot of people. They may, the sort of increased exposure of this technology may well move more people towards Tile. But that might be an optimistic view of a company that would happily monopolize a lot of these things.
I lose stuff so often that the only thing that's going for this is Apple is the fact that you could have so many people around the world who've got iPhones that could be like, I've basically found your phone for you, or if I found your phone, but I found your keys, or I found your bag, or I found your cat, or whatever you want to use it for. And you can like, tap your iPhone and get contact details for the person if you wanted to, if they enabled it. It does seem like it makes a lot of sense to have in the ecosystem. And I'm surprised Apple's priced it so competitively at $29. You think if it was $50 and Tile was $20, then Tile would have been in a great space, but Apple's gone really close. And, you know, visually, they look quite aesthetically pleasing compared to sort of the blockiness of Tiles, replaceable battery after a year. It's an interesting one. Like I said, the consumer wins here. You know, it's upsetting that Apple can use Monopoly, but or if it has theoretically done that. But equally, I think it's cool. And I've been waiting for these for so long because they make sense. And it's also good to see that Apple has thought about privacy. The idea that say you wanted to track someone because you're a nefarious knobhead and you slipped into their coat and they realized their iPhone would go, hang on a minute, there's a tag on me that's not part of my network, and it will tell you about it. If you don't have an iPhone, it will just start beeping away for you to be like, hang on a minute, I'm not close to my iPhone, so that the person it's on can hear. So that's quite useful. I'm glad that that's been thought about. Could be the reason it was delayed for so long. Who knows? Cherie, have we missed anything from the Apple event that you are desperate to bring up? Well, we covered the main stuff.
I mean, the things that we didn't see, I expected to see an iPad mini. That did not happen.
No, there's no chance. They don't like the iPad mini. Apple seems to do it because it feels responsible to it, but it doesn't love it.
Yeah, so it gave me about everything I expected. I was expecting a one more thing moment that didn't happen, so nah.
Oh, were you sad there were no new MacBooks powered by more powerful things?
No, because that'll usually come either in the summer or during that fall event. So
essentially, you did get new laptops anyway because you got the new iPad Pro, which can work the same way. So it's fine. Right, let's jump onto our next section. It is the Gadget Hall of Fame, where we get to take a new guest or a returning guest that has got too much junk, and they can tell us what they want to bring into the Gadget Hall of Fame. It can go one of two ways. It can go there and be lauded for the rest of time as one of the greatest gadgets of all, or it can go and sit in a drawer next to Matt Swider's Tech Radar headphones. Who knows which way it's going to be? Brian M. Wolf, what have you brought us today? Is it good?
Well, I understand that this is the first iPhone to come into the vault, so the iPhone 4 is my selection. It offered a slick new style, larger screen, and I believe it was the last iPhone that Steve Jobs himself actually announced. So I am handing over my white iPhone 4.
Now, the white one was contentious. Well, not contentious. It was fabled because it took so long to actually appear. It was announced and then just never turned up. Like, you could get customization kits to turn your black iPhone into a white iPhone. And I nearly did that at one point, but then thought that's clearly going to go wrong.
I was going to say the only problem with the iPhone 4 is I'm going to have to give a bumper case as well, because remember that was the one that was having cellular issues.
Well, you were holding it wrong, Brian. We all know that.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs said so. You know, I think they said that there's a press release and Apple said they took it into their testing labs, you know, those anechoic chambers that can be perfectly pure and work out how much signal there is. And they said, we were amazed to find out that it wasn't working well. So either what, you didn't do your testing properly, or you're just pretending that this has actually happened for the first time and you hope that it wouldn't go through. But yeah, those bumpers that came out, and were they free? I think they were free, or were they like $29? I can't remember which one it was.
I think they were free and then you could buy them really cheap.
And it was a shame. I mean, it was a shame because the design of the iPhone 4 was one of the greatest ever, I think, in the smartphone world. It went from being a sort of like roundedy plasticky thing to this nice sharp-edged device, which weirdly, those come back with the new iPhone 12 range, and I don't care about as much. But back then, Apple was like, right, we're stepping up now. We're joining the big leagues. This is a phone you're going to want, and it really was. And then did the 5S and the 4S and the 5 and the 5S, and it got a bit boring. But now, it's all good. So yeah. Anyone disagree with seeing this in the Gadget Hall of Fame?
Not at all.
Good. Okay, well, that was easy. Did you have anything else, Brian, or was it just the one-hit wonder that you wanted to see lauded for all time?
Well, I was only told to come up with one, so I only came up with one. So I think the 1-2 punch, the phone and the case. So there you go.
What was your first gadget? Do you remember?
My first gadget?
Yeah, if you think back to the first like bit of tech that you remember when you were younger.
You know, I remember probably there was a Sony tablet out that was about 2 inches thick. It would have been Magic. I don't know. It was real big. And it was like the first tablet that would only work on a cellular connection that you had to spend like $30 a month on. And it used some sort of magic technology where you could actually draw on it with your hands and stuff. That was probably sometime in the early 90s. I remember that.
Okay, well, hopefully one of the listeners will can email into our email address that we don't know the password to at this point, and they can let us know what's going on with that. But yeah, that sounds good. That sounds like the sort of thing we need in there, because you can confuse people and if they're looking to steal the prestigious iPhone 4, which, lest we forget, was the one that was found in the bar and was probably the biggest leak of all time in the smartphone world. Right, what's up next is the news blast. Now, we have the production meetings the day before. Our producer Matt says to Gareth, talking about myself in third person. He says to me, Gareth, you're doing it this week. And every time I'm like, yep, I will definitely prepare for that. Not once again. Matt has been great and given me some options for this. So basically, I'm going to be reading out some stories here and guessing what they're about, because I haven't filled in all of these right now. I know some of them, thankfully, but not all of them. So are we ready, Cherie? Can you time me?
this is gonna be fun.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm counting you down. 3, 2, 1.
Right, so Microsoft and Discord were in talks to be bought out from one of them. Well, Discord was being bought by Microsoft. That's not happening anymore. Could be an IPO float. The Samsung Galaxy A22 is a design that's been leaked within cases. No idea what that's about. Probably a big-ish screen. I don't know. Possibly. Psychonauts 2 might be coming to the Microsoft Xbox and be actually playable, which sounds like that it wasn't expected to be, and maybe some sort of demo. Psychonauts. Not even heard of the game. Well done, Gareth. Netflix, The Witcher 2 and Sex Education 3 will release in 2021. We knew that was going to happen, but it's good to see that the filming hasn't been destroyed by all the stupid COVID. Sony, as a mystery Ultra phone, could be appearing. The Ultra series has been a bit weird and very powerful normally, so could this be an 8K phone? No idea. We talked about HTC earlier. The Vive Air leak could be a fitness-focused VR headset. Not sure that's going to work because sweat, but let's find out if it could be, because that is where fitness works. Apex Legends coming to Android and also the iPhone. Cool. Rockstar has made things better in terms of Max Payne 3. Ah, cool. I'm glad about this because I was starting to get lost.
You haven't heard of Psychonauts?
Yeah, I realised when I said it, I was like, probably not. I mean, it's got a sequel, so I don't know what happened to me in the gaming world, because I was the biggest game when I was a child, and then suddenly one day just stopped. And I still love it, and I still like playing games, but then I lost my way, and then apart from racing games, just they got too big for me.
Yeah, it requires a lot of like time and engagement to really stay in gaming. I did laps for like 3 years, 3 or 4 years. I just didn't play anything. I got back and thankfully got back to it, because God knows what I was doing with my time if I wasn't staring at a screen all my weekends.
No, you haven't got children, so.
That does make it easier. My Xbox is my child, I think.
my ex, I was like, what? my ex keeps trying to call me and tell me something, but I just won't pick up her calls. Cool. Well, I got 8. I mean, like, does that even count? Because I'm not sure most of that wasn't true. But anyway, right, let's go on to the big news of the week before we wrap up for this lovely episode of the Noise Cancelling Podcast. We've got three things we're going to bring up today. Henry, let's start us off. Now, Amazon has cancelled its, well, to some people, they might call it a lotto, but a Lord of the Rings multi.
That is how most people say Lord of the Rings, yes.
LOTRMMO. Lotto.
I can tell you're not in gaming anymore.
I couldn't remember what MMO stood for briefly, but massive multiplayer online. I know that.
Yeah, you done it. Well done.
I do. I am in charge of a tech website. Once in a while, I learn acronyms. So anyway, that's been cancelled is the big talk. So what does that mean? You know, we've got lots of things. We've got Amazon's doing Game Studio with Luna. That's meant to be a big thing. And there's meant to be a TV show as well. Like, incite us.
There's a lot going on in this story alone. This the Lord of the Rings MMO had been in development for about 3 years now, and some sort of a contract dispute between Amazon and Tencent, which purchased one of this game's development partners, means it's gone into development hell. It doesn't mean we'll never see it.
Okay.
But nothing is happening for the moment, and Amazon Game Studios now has an increasingly long record of games not working out. Had its free-to-play shooter Crucible that went into open public beta and then went back into private beta because no one was playing it, and then was officially cancelled. And you've got a lot of controversy over New World, a game where you literally colonize the American continent and fight off the equivalent of Native American zombies. Amazon getting into the game business has been a very weird thing to watch. Amazon also obviously has it's making a Lord of the Rings TV show, which still seems to be on track. It's TV streaming arm generally having better form and a bit more respect than its gaming arm. But it's very odd seeing it just run into these problems with every notable thing they do in the gaming space.
And Cherie, you know, you covered the Amazon launch when they launched about 1,000 things. Did Luna get you excited as a gaming platform?
No. Is it still even in beta? I haven't even gotten to touch it yet.
I'm not even sure.
Exactly.
I forgot about it.
Exactly.
Until I saw it today, I was like, oh yeah, Luna.
We just watched Stadia just like, yeah, we're not going to develop any more games. We're just going to try to license things out. And you see cloud gaming is such a fraught industry right now because, like, you see Nvidia is having problems getting developers to commit and let them use their licensing and all that good stuff. What is Amazon doing? Like, I'm very confused. Like, I know that...
Books.
No.
That's what started.
I haven't gotten a chance to touch Luna. I'm not sure if Luna is out of beta. The fact that I'm even asking these questions, and gaming is one of my like passions, says a lot about where Amazon stands in terms of game development and cloud gaming.
It just feels like, and maybe Brian can weigh in on this a little bit, but it feels to me like, you know how in the pandemic, Zoom became like the de facto word for video calling, and no one had even really heard of Zoom much beyond, you know, you had to maybe do a briefing with somebody and they said you've got to do it on Zoom. You're like, oh, what? I've just installed BlueJeans or something and now I have to do this. And then suddenly Zoom became this byword for video calling. And then you had all these things. You had Skype and FaceTime and Google Hangouts and Microsoft Teams that were ready to go. And then somehow Zoom just stole in and became this multinational brand. And I feel like when somebody does make cloud gaming work, Google Stadia and Luna and everything, they'll be like, oh man, like, how do we get this so wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I would say somebody's going to develop something that's, you know, everybody's going to be like, oh, this is the next big thing.
It makes sense.
Yeah, Cherie, I know that Amazon charged me 2 months for Luna, so I don't know if it's in beta yet or, but I know they charged me twice.
Did you play it?
You know, I played something for like 30 minutes, and mainly I just did it to see how the speed was. It was okay. It was, you know, I'm a little like you, Gareth. I don't game too much anymore.
I mean, I like the fact that this is such a big project that I forgot to ask somebody if they tried it. You know, usually we're like, just checking no one's done it. We're like, well, I just assume no one has because everyone has forgotten about it. But at least the speed was good. Well, that's something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this brand that's got Twitch, which is one of the biggest gaming, you know, interactivity platforms, can't make this streaming situation work yet. It's quite surprising. Right. Well, Brian, tell us about things that are also popping up everywhere. Clubhouse, alternatives. What about them?
Yeah, you know, this little app called Clubhouse, you know, came out of nowhere and found a interesting way to bring everybody together through voice, who would have thought. And now, of course, everybody else is jumping on the bandwagon. I guess Facebook's coming out with an alternative, Reddit. I think what the end result will be, somebody will buy Clubhouse and maybe the name goes away forever. I don't know. But it will be interesting to see what happens after the pandemic if something like that continues to shine. I don't know if everybody's going to want to sit around and just talk to people. Like, on an app. But so far, it's kind of cool, and it has a great interface.
Have you clubbed?
Yeah, and if somebody needs an invitation, I know Sherry has some invitations, and I do too, of Clubhouse. So
what have you clubhoused so far?
Not a lot. You know, you can go in there and talk about everything. I like the ones where you sometimes can talk about TV shows and stuff. I'm not really into the, I would say, almost described as tech talks that people have. I'm not into that. I do it more for fun stuff after work.
Sheree, what about you?
I still, like, Swider and I are still doing our Clubhouse hotline tech, and I am launching a new one that is a bit more risque, after hours type of deal for the adults that we... We have not decided on a name yet, but supposedly we are launching tonight, so we shall see.
I mean, this is like, you know, fail quickly. You know, iterate smart. You can do this. How do you measure the interactions on Clubhouse when you say you've got the hotline tech? Do you have sort of listeners or interactors?
Listeners, so like it basically kind of goes on how big your rooms are. So like if you look, a Clubhouse can hold up to I think 800 people, and then they'll have like standing rooms some kind of way, because I've been shuffled into one of those standing rooms.
What happens in a standing room, a virtual standing room?
Like I think you can listen in, but the likelihood of you being at, like, if you raise your hand, like the likelihood of you being acknowledged is probably slimmer than if you were in the actual room. And Henry is over there cracking up.
I just love the idea of standing room, like in a theater or something. Like this whole other like section of digital infrastructure just for people who can't quite get into the room.
Have you clubhoused, Henry? I don't know if that's the word to use, the verb to clubhouse.
I've neither clubbed nor housed. Okay. But
are you enticed to club or house?
Not really. I don't think I'm going to ask anyone for an invite. My attitude to most social media apps is when enough people I know are on it that it's inconvenient for me not to be on it, I will get on it. And at the moment, Clubhouse hasn't done that.
Good. Well, I think that's a lesson for us all. And one we should take away into the weekend, as you listen to this podcast, and if you're my dad, give me feedback on our weekly phone call. Right, well, thank you everybody for listening to episode, what turns out to be 61 of the Noise Cancelling Podcast. Sheree, how can people get in contact with you, and have you had a good time?
I have had a good time, despite many deliveries interrupting my...
my no one's going to notice.
All right, fine. Like, I'm just saying, but yes, I always have a good time chatting with you and our guest Gareth, and as always, you can find me at MissSmith11 on Twitter and Instagram. That is M-I-S-S Smith11, and for all things iPad Pro, more MacBook conjectures and everything in between, please visit us at Laptop Mag. And as always, laptop then, laptop now, laptop forever.
And I do love the peaking on the microphones for that. Our sound engineer always is thankful for that. But will people be able to find out about the After Hours Risque Clubhouse, or is that it's gonna be under a pseudonym, no one's gonna know?
I like, my parents know who I am as a person, so I'm not gonna they know me. I'm 40 at this.
Okay, good.
I'm 40 years old at this point. I'm not hiding anything from my parents. They know who I am as a person.
Good. Okay, Henry, how can people get in contact with you, and have you also had a good time?
Best way to get in contact with me is to open a Clubhouse conversation and invite me to it, because I'll definitely show up. But you can find me on Twitter at Henry_St. Ledger, or just head to Tech Radar and just like scroll through some TV articles. I've written probably some of those.
I hope you have, otherwise we're going to have a conversation.
at least one on the site, yes. I think.
Good. Just keep recycling it and I will never find out. Brian, how about you? Thank you for coming on for the first time. It's been nice to have you.
I'm on Twitter, Brian, that's with a Y, M, Wolf. And like I said earlier, I'm on Tech Radar right now, so you can find me on there writing about mostly Mac stuff.
And it's good stuff. You should come and check it out.
Yeah, we're the site's really trying to bring lots more Mac stuff to the site.
Yes, and timing-wise, excellent. Thanks to you, Apple. And I am Gareth Beavis. You can get me at SuperBeav on Twitter. But as you should probably do, just type in TechRadar into any social, and we've cleverly managed to get that handle for nearly everything, which makes life a lot simpler, I'll be honest. Please come there for all of your, as Brian said, Mac needs plus others, TVs, we do those too. Laptops now, but not forever, who knows, because Cherie's juggernaut of laptop mag could come and eat us one day. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We'll be back next week with a bit more. My computer's about to run out, so I'm going to say goodbye to everybody right now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.